Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are, this is Jesus, he's speaking to the disciples. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So Jesus calls the believers to be two things. First, we're to be the salt of the earth. We're called to be salt. And the second thing, we're to be the light, a light to the world. So let's talk about salt for a second. And this brings out my chemistry side of me. This is sodium chloride. And there's like tons of salt in the world. In 1 gallon of seawater, there's like a quarter pound of salt if you can get the salt out of it. In all the, if you took all the salt out of all the oceans, it would be, and you spread it evenly on the surface of the whole planet, there would be 100 feet thick of salt on the earth. So if anyone tells you to buy stock in a salt company because it's becoming rare, before you buy that stock, see me so I can sell you Toomey stock instead. Okay? There is just so much salt out there. This is the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is over in Israel, and it has 10 times more salt in it than the ocean has. Some say, and this is false, I don't know if you've ever heard this, so you can float, like the people are floating there because there's so much salt. Some say that you cannot drown in the Dead Sea. So this is amazing. The Dead Sea is 33% salt. It's two-thirds water, one-third salt. It's almost like, it's not quite, but it has like a thickness, like a gel to the water. Now, how people do drown, by the way, is because you're so buoyant, see, your legs come up. It's hard to get your legs down. You with me? Because they just want to pop up. If people fall, if they turn over and get on their stomach, they have a hard time getting back. And so people drown. They're floating on the water, but their face is down in the water. And they actually drown that way. And they can't, because it's like this gel, and they can't get their feet under them. They can't turn around. So, but a lot of salt out there. Now, this here is what salt actually looks like, pure salt. If you go home and shake out the salt from your table. So what does it look like? What does salt look like? It's in the shape of a cube, a square. Now, and I already found out from the first service, but when I got saved back in the 70s, people used to have a saying, for those who like followed God, who walked the straight and narrow, they would say, man, Joe, you're square. Do any of you that are older, do you remember that? And that was like an insult when someone would call you, ooh, you're square. But then I realized, wait a second, I'm called to be salt. That's kind of a compliment. Thank you. Jesus said I'm to be the salt of the earth, and salt is this cube. The other thing I remember growing up is reading Charlie Brown. Do you remember Charlie Brown? And do you remember what Lucy would call him? She would call him blockhead. And I was thinking, that's what Christians should be. Blockhead. I mean, doesn't that looks like a little block? One more thing here that I want to point out. This is your tongue. And these are the four main taste receptors in your tongue. There is actually a fifth one that is out now as well. But these are the four main ones. Now, Jesus called us to be what to the earth? Salt. All right. Did he say, Christians, I want you to be the bitter of the earth? Did he call us to be that? No. Well, then why some of you Christians act like life is totally bitter and rotten and horrible and okay. Did Jesus call us to be the sour of the earth? Then why is it that some Christians just seem like everything's so sour? You're sour puss. You're just, you know. Did Jesus call us to be sweet? Okay, no. Which one did Jesus call us to be? The salt of the earth. So I'm trying to think, what in the days of Jesus, what did they use salt for? And there are three main things they used salt for back in the days of Jesus. Number one, so if we need to understand, if Jesus is calling us to be the salt of the earth, what did they use salt for back then? Because whatever it was used for back then is probably what spiritually Jesus wants us to be. So salt was used as a preservative to preserve meat. Believe it or not, they didn't always have refrigeration, okay? This is a yurt. I was in Mongolia about 5 years ago, and about half the population lives in a yurt or a gir. And it's this big tent. It's their living room, bedroom, kitchen, dining room. They will have an outhouse separately. And they don't have electricity, and they don't have refrigeration. So when you go in their yurts, they're hanging meat from their ceilings. And of course, I'm like, I grew up, you put meat in the refrigerator, you put meat in the freezer, otherwise the bacteria rots it away and it smells and it's gruesome what happens to meat. But how is it that the meat is able to hang in the ceilings of their homes? Because they preserved it with salt. Okay, it's like hanging beef jerky, I guess. So that's how, when they would kill meat, cattle, bulls, lamb, they would preserve the meat from rotting with salt. So I think that Jesus is calling us to be the preserving influence, the church in the world, against the rotting influence of evil and Satan. We are to be the salt of the world. We are to prevent evil from growing rampant, and whether it's ethics, morals, spiritual, whatever it is, we're to be the salt of the earth. So Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, God said they had just gone so evil. They were doing so many different wicked things. And God said if he found so many righteous people, so many pieces of salt in Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't destroy them. How many was he looking for? 10. So God said, if I can find 10 salt cubes that act as a preservative, that fight against the influence of evil and sin from growing, if I can find 10 believers, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So in some sense, there wasn't enough salt. There wasn't enough believers to have their influence. And so the few salt that was there, God removed first, and then he destroyed. You know, the question is the church being salt in the world today? The question is the church in the United States being salt in preserving what's right and what's good and what's honorable and what's trustworthy and what's correct? Is the church being salt, or are we losing our saltiness and the bacteria of evil is eating away and destroying the United States? So at this conference, they had all these speakers. I'm telling you, there was like this similar theme through all of the speakers, which is the church is going down in the United States. That we are definitely on the defense, that we are losing our influence in Hollywood, politics, morals, laws, everything. That the church is losing, they didn't say it this way, but I'm telling you, is the church losing its saltiness? Are we having any influence on the United States anymore as believers? There's only about 3 to 4% that are born again believers in the United States. I even wonder in the world, Satan is just, I mean, I kept hearing testimonies of countries. Satan is on the march and persecution of Christians is growing and Christians being killed. And I have to wonder, is the church losing its saltiness? Wednesday night, we've been talking about the rapture. The rapture is when Jesus is going to return. He's going to withdraw the church. The church will be taken out. The salt, the final salt that's left will be taken out, and then you move into the tribulation. If you want to know what that's like, read Revelation. That's when the final grains of salt are removed, the believers that are left on the earth are removed. You cannot believe the heyday Satan and evil has. I mean, read Revelation, what people are doing, every sinful thing you can imagine. I think it may be coming soon. But again, the question is, are we being salt? Are you being salt in your neighborhood and your job and your community? Are you acting as a preservative of what's right and true? Number two, salt is used to flavor food. How many put salt on everything you eat? There's about a quarter of the church. The other quarter isn't going to admit it. How many don't use salt? You're good. You don't put, amen. All right. So salt is used, that's the second main thing, is to flavor food, to make it tasty. In fact, let me get you a little bit hungry here. Nothing as good as a McDonald's french fry. But do you know that McDonald's sells something on their menu that has 2 to 3 times more salt in it than a McDonald's french fry? French fries? What is it? What actually has more salt in it than McDonald's french fries that McDonald's sells and lots of people buy? A milkshake. A McDonald's milkshake has 2 to 3 times more salt in it than french fries. And that's because when you combine salt with sugar, it makes the sugar sweeter. And so that's why McDonald's milkshakes taste so sweet and delicious. It's the salt that they actually put in the shake. So salt makes things tasty. And I happen to believe that if we're going to be the salt to the world, our job is to make Christianity tasty, to make it appetizing for people who don't know the Lord. This is in Colossians chapter 4. It says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, the people that aren't believers, outside the church, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace. So when you're talking to people who don't know the Lord, your speech should always be with grace, which means you're kind, gentle, you're nice. It doesn't mean you don't tell the truth, but there's a kind way. All right, so always be with grace, as though seasoned with what? With salt. So when you're talking to people, you're telling the truth, but you want to season it. You want to make it a little bit appetizing. If I'm going to talk about hell, it's like, yeah, because I was a sinner, I was heading to hell. Yeah, I don't have to tell them they're going to hell because they'll learn it from me. But, oh man, then I found Jesus and he opened the door to heaven. You see, I want to make it appetizing. There's another version, which is actually the version I memorized it in. It doesn't say seasoned with salt. They translate salt, it says, with a flavor of wit, and some have a flavor of humor. So I know some of you say, ah, oh, Pastor, you're always throwing humor and all. Well, I'm using that because in some versions, that's what it says. When you're talking to people, have a flavor of wit, a flavor of humor. You're trying to make Christianity attractive, to make it tasteful. So to be the salt of the earth. Number three. Oh, I got this out of a book. This is what makes Christianity tasteful to people who don't know the Lord. This is what is attractive to people that don't know Jesus yet. Number one, when you have a real authentic life. And I will claim that the Christian should have the most authentic life of anyone. Because you know God. Your sins have been forgiven. You can be yourself. I think the world's a big fake. They don't know who they are. They're disconnected with God. They're always putting on a front. They're not sure where they came from, who they are, what they should be doing, where they're going to. But the Christian, we can be the most authentic. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I got good sides, and I still wrestle with sinful sides. I can be real, but Jesus has forgiven me, and Jesus is working with me, and Jesus is transforming me. I can be authentic and real. I'm not perfect. Okay? That's attractive to people, okay, that don't know the Lord. A thriving spiritual life is attractive when you have a connection with God and you're praying and you're talking about the Lord. A strong sense of love for others. Now, believe it or not, as the day of evil is marching forward, people are more into themselves than ever. People are it's all about me. What is very powerful is as believers, we believe in loving your neighbor as yourself. And so when you love others, when you give to others without looking for something in return, without looking, it's not a secret way of you getting more, that is very powerful to other people. They're like, wow, the ability that you are able to give to others. Only Christians really can have that ability. And that's very tasteful. That's very like, for people that are so into themselves, and then a conviction to do what is right. I just read a study that people want to do what's right, but they need someone to lead the way. So like if you have a group of people in a business, and let's say the boss is discussing, you know, taking advantage of some country for some business, it just takes one person to stand up and say, you know what, this just doesn't seem right. You know, this probably isn't the right way to take advantage. And it turns out if one person says what's right, then other people have been thinking about it, but they don't want to take it. Yeah, you know what? We agree with that person. Maybe we should do it some different way. Maybe we should be more honest and fair and all that. But it takes that one person. It takes the salt. It takes that one salt. But when the salt loses its saltiness, then no one's standing up, no one's taking that lead, and here's what's right, and no one else then wants to say anything. And then third, is salt is used to create thirst. So this is pretzels and nuts. Though I don't visit bars, on TV I see people have bars, and I always say to myself, oh, this is so nice, look at this bar, they're so loving and caring to their people. They have free pretzels and nuts along the bar. And I'm like, see that? It's not all about the money. They're giving free pretzels and nuts to all the people sitting there. Until I realize they do that to make you thirsty. So you buy more drink. So I'm like, oh, that's the reason. This is the third main reason, third thing salt was used for. Are you making people thirsty for God? Thirsty for living water? Are you living in such a way that, and you're talking about God and walking with the Lord and God's miracles and answer prayers, that you're giving thirst to people? They want the God you have, the hope that you have. Are you making people thirsty? So three things are, if we're going to be salt, are we preserving? Are we preserving the bacteria of evil from growing in the country, in the world? Are we making Christianity tasteful and attractive? Are we creating thirst in people wanting to know the Lord? Here's a salt shaker. And sometimes salt will clump inside the salt shaker. How do you prevent salt from clumping in the salt shaker, by the way? Yeah, you throw rice in. Okay, so that's the preacher's and the elder's job. Because God doesn't want us in the salt shaker, okay? So churches sometimes get clumped in the church. Jesus says, hey, look, I want you to go out into the world. I want you to preach the gospel. And in John 17, Jesus says, look, I know I'm sending you in the world, and I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm praying that you're going to be holy. I'm praying that you're going to be, if you're a pure piece of salt, you are a cube. If you become impure, then you become this weird-shaped crystal that's not a cube. That's how you know pure salt. Like, shake out your salt. If it's not a cube, then you have impure salt. Jesus is like, I want you to be holy. I want you to be pure, square pieces of salt. But I want you in the world because I want you to stop the growth of evil. I want you to make Christianity attractive to those who are lost that I love. I want you to create thirst in the lost. God wants to shake us out. Now, there's not that much salt in the world. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's not that much salt. It would be nice if all Christians lived in the same neighborhood, all Christians worked the same job, all Christians go to school. But God, he's got so few salt. And so God has to shake it out. It's like you got your whole meal, okay? And you only have a little bit of salt. You want to salt all of the food. So unfortunately, God, I'm going to throw a few salt cubes in Westinghouse. I'm going to throw a few salt cubes at the public school. I'm going to put a few salt cubes in that neighborhood. There's not that much salt left. But you understand, God has to spread us out. It'd be nice if he could put hundreds and hundreds of Christians in Westinghouse. It's not going to happen. Because God has to spread us out in all the places to try to have an influence. But you understand, when the salt loses its influence, that's bad news. That's bad news. So we don't have time to go into being the light, but you need to be the light too.